What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the free TSU app. Today is Monday, January 12th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. On today's show, what a weekend for Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns. The Horns now boast the top-ranked portal class in America. What happens? We'll recap it, and we'll talk about what's next for Texas football. How about Texas basketball? Huge road win at Alabama Saturday night. Perhaps a turning point in Sean Miller's first year. We'll talk about that. The college football playoff national championship is set. We'll preview that. We've had a great weekend of NFL playoff action. We will talk about the games from Saturday and Sunday and preview Texans Steelers tonight. And Texas women's basketball suffered its first loss of the year to
Kim Hall of Famer
Mulkey. And boy, she was dressed to the nines yesterday. Wow.
She was shining.
Oh, my goodness. We'll talk about all of that and so much more. Plenty of sports and plenty of fun to be had between now and 9 o'clock. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. We appreciate y'all starting your weeks off with us. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm great, man. What a beautiful day. We're going to have another one of those, you know, 58, 59, 60-degree temperatures, you know, where it feels warm, where it feels the humidity's out there. So look for another one today and tomorrow. And then a couple of cool evenings, but then back to the 60s. Nothing wrong with that. I haven't quite called it winter yet. I think after this week, BK, by the next week, start of next week, I will officially let people know that it is winter for us.
Currently 38 degrees. That doesn't qualify as winter?
No, because by the time you and I get off, it's a beautiful 50-some degrees. And it's been a warm 50, you know? Like 58 degrees, 60 degrees, it feels like it's 70 degrees. But the humidity, it's so dry. Sorry about that dryness. I was calling for some moisture that we did not get.
Yeah, did anybody get any moisture?
I think some people in the state got some on Friday. But not anything around here. Nothing locally to talk about. Now, even east, I don't think anybody got any. I got some spittle on my windshield, and that was about it. And even that didn't last very long.
So. That was just some kid who was pissed at you, so he spat on your car.
Probably.
Yeah. You're not the weather guesser for Dallas or Houston. We don't care about those cities.
We don't?
What's going on in the rest of the state doesn't matter. We want our local
forecast. The Lone Star State.
We want the local forecast. And again, you failed to deliver.
Local forecast is dry. Just as dry as can be. I mean, it's like a desert outside. It's been tough out.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's cooled down a little bit, some cooler temperatures over the weekend, and doesn't look like we're going to get into the 70s or 80s this week. So more of a, I don't know if you want to call it winter yet, but more of a winter feel than what we've had for
maybe
sure.
Maybe fall now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, maybe fall here in Central Texas.
Yeah, fall. Yeah, it's a beautiful fall season. And it's nice, though, but it's because it feels warm, you know?
Sure, we'll take it.
I like it. I like it a lot. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do for us. We appreciate it each and every day. And to you and your families, please be safe out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well said, as always. First full week of school for the kiddos.
Bussy went by.
Yeah, I think the college kids are starting to come back this week as well. So best of luck to you youngsters in your second semesters of the school year.
It's time.
It is time.
Back to work.
Buck will have a tip for kids tomorrow morning, and we'll bring that back for semester number two. And congrats to all of you parents out there for getting the kids out of the house. You are the real winners here.
Yes, you are the definite winners.
You know who else was a winner this weekend, Buck?
Who's that?
Texas football team.
Yes, indeed.
When we last spoke to the people Friday morning, the Longhorns transfer portal class ranked outside the top 40. Here on a Monday, the Texas transfer portal class ranks in the top one. As in, yes, the Longhorns have the number one ranked portal class in America. What a heater the Longhorns have been on. It really started on Thursday landing Arizona State transfer running back Relique Brown. But obviously it continued into the weekend. Friday, Texas picking up a commitment from an offensive lineman with Dylan Sikorsky. Saturday, the number two linebacker in the portal, Rasheem Biles, pledged to Texas. And then yesterday was the icing on the cake as the Longhorns landed Cam Coleman, the number one wide receiver and the number one player overall in the portal. And then another running back, Hollywood Smothers, one of the best names in the transfer portal this offseason. A guy who played at NC State last year, committed to Alabama last Monday. He took a visit to Austin, surprising everyone this weekend, and then he commits and signs with Texas yesterday. So the Longhorns, yesterday alone, added the number one wide receiver and the number two running back overall in the portal. After adding the number two linebacker, another top five running back, and offensive line. I mean, they have completely turned the tide. And what was a lot of doom and gloom last week, now Texas fans are sitting on top of the world with what happened over the weekend.
All in.
All in. Yeah, no more like Jerry Jones, all in. Yeah,
no.
And now it's clear that now Texas is, in fact, all in on the upcoming 2026 season. And I think it goes without saying that is a very good thing for Longhorn Nation.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a great opportunity. They still need a couple more offensive linemen and another linebacker, but then that's that they're showing that they're going for these guys and they're flipping them over and turning them over and bringing them here to Austin.
Yeah. Still work to be done, but it's crazy because Texas, again, I don't think anybody viewed this as a realistic possibility. Even the pretty optimistic Longhorn fans who are trying to stay the course throughout the course of last week, I don't know if anyone thought the number one portal class was a possibility. And again, it's not over yet, right? There are still plenty of transfers available. You know, Indiana, Texas Tech, a number of these other schools are going to continue to add to their rosters as well. But I don't think Texas is done either. Right? There are still some holes that need to be filled on this Longhorns roster. But I mean, what a job that the Texas staff has done. And it's clear, Buck, they had a plan. They had a plan. I don't know if everything's gone according to plan, but they were trying to thin their roster. They were trying to shed some money. They felt like they had a chance to bring in some of the biggest fish in this portal class, and clearly they were right.
Yeah, the two running backs are, I mean, that really kind of solidifies that room with then Christian Clark and, you know, and Cooper and Simon. That makes that a really a room that a couple guys can continue to grow. Young guys can continue to grow unless they decide to leave. Other than that, it's just now the receiver room, now you have a true number one receiver that can actually catch the football. And now you got a number two receiver that's pretty doggone good, even though he can be inconsistent at times. You don't have to put everything on that guy. He may even play better not being the number one guy, you know?
Yeah, maybe. And Christian Clark, by the way, did leave yesterday.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. That came out after the Hollywood Smothers report came out. So,
well, now you got two other young, like you say, you got two. Now you still have the two young guys if they're still here. I mean, I was going to say they all can't leave, but that ain't true either.
Right. Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, I wanted Christian Clark to stick around. I think most Texas fans wanted Christian Clark to stick around. But unfortunately, he opted not to do so. So there were reports last week that he had agreed to a deal with Texas for the 2026 season, but had not signed that deal. And again, once the Longhorns brought in another running back in the portal yesterday, you know, a guy who's more proven and is more experienced and will be ahead of Christian Clark on the depth chart, or would have been ahead of Christian Clark on the depth chart. Once that news dropped yesterday, the reports came out that Clark was going to explore other options. So a bit of a disappointment, but again, these are the tough decisions that Texas is making where they are trying to go all in on 2026 and they don't want to pay guys to maybe turn into great players. They're trying to pay guys who they know are already great players.
Yeah. And as I said, this is where you can lean on your recruiting, your local knowledge of running backs in the area that want to come. And, you know, you're going to need guys. The defense needs to have guys go down there and help them out. And they can't be slouches going down there because they're going to run against some of the better running backs in the country in the SEC. So you got to have those other guys, and those other guys can make the team. I mean, the team is, you know, 105. So now those guys can travel. They can go help the defense. They can still continue to get better, because these guys, who knows how long, they'll be around here for 1 year and be gone.
Right. And
they're out.
Yeah. I mean, Relique Brown, the former Arizona State running back, has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Right. Hollywood Smothers does have 2 years of eligibility remaining, but he could go pro after 2026. And you know, I hope he has a good enough season to where he at least considers taking his talents to the next level.
Yeah, I hope he has a good season and he stays the following year and has a dynamic season.
That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. But look, these are one-year contracts. That's how it works nowadays. Sure. That's why you're seeing – I mean, Buck, there's more than 3,500 players in the transfer portal. Like, and that number continues to go up because the portal's open for another week. There's going to be 4,000 or 5,000 players who enter the portal throughout college football. And a large part of that is because, yeah, these are basically one-year contracts that these guys are signing, and they're looking for other opportunities and other payments elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, Miami had to be, you know, after that game, must have a couple guys looking to get out of there.
Yeah.
They can see the writing on the wall. Find me a couple of those offensive linemen.
Saw a couple of Ole Miss guys, including an offensive lineman, hit the portal over the weekend. Yeah. Obviously, you still have one more game to be played in college football, and now, the two teams who are in the national championship, Indiana and Miami, their players will get an extended deadline, obviously, after that game takes place next Monday to put their name in the portal. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of guys. This is sort of a dead period, Monday to Wednesday. Like, nobody can visit campuses these next 3 days. Coaches can still recruit. So it's not your stereotypical dead period where you're not allowed to contact anybody. You could still contact players, but right now there's no visits going on. But that doesn't mean there won't be any news for these next few days. And then, friendly reminder, just because the portal itself closes at the end of the week, guys can still commit after the portal closes. So the news is going to continue throughout the country into next weekend, into next
week.
Some
schools have made decisions on National Signing Day, too, but they're looking, so they're still working.
Like the high school National Signing Day?
There is a National Signing Day. You told me that last week.
It does. It does still exist.
Yes, you told me that they have one next week for February. So guys are still working.
Yeah, the staff is still getting after it. And look, the job's not finished for Texas. Like, they still need some offensive linemen. I would like for them to add another linebacker. I'd like for them to add another defensive back.
Yes.
Could go. I want to get greedy. I mean, they could go with another edge rusher if they would like. I would not be opposed. And I know they've hosted a couple on campus in recent days. So there's work left to be done. But again, just it feels like a total 180 with the vibe around this program and with Texas fans everywhere. Felt like the sky was falling for a lot of last week. And now it feels like everyone's on cloud nine.
Yeah, I mean, getting Cam Coleman was just, that's amazing.
That's where it starts right there. And not only to get Cam Coleman, but the teams you beat to get Cam Coleman.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you beat two in-state rivals, Texas A&M, obviously one of your biggest rivals, and then Texas Tech, who they don't lose a lot of these battles these days. Now, forever, Buck, beating Texas Tech in a recruiting battle was not that big of a deal. But nowadays, that is a big deal to beat Texas.
Yeah, I just think it seemed like, for that particular player, it just seemed like a better business decision to go somewhere where he knows who the quarterback, he can see it. You know, he doesn't have to say, I wonder how that other guy is. He was okay at Cincinnati, but this is another step up for him, you know, kind of, you know, but and to know what Arch Manning presents for him, he presents a little bit more cash for him to up his stock, I believe, in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. And there are reports that came out yesterday after Cam Coleman announced his decision that said Texas did not have the highest financial offer on the table. Now, I'm sure the Longhorns are still paying Cam Coleman a ton of money to be here.
Yeah, but like I said, it's such a business decision. You know, you're gonna have to play that final year, and you don't want to get your head taken off by somebody that you don't know can. Now you know a guy who can let it out, who's gotten better over the year, who can get you some, make you some more money.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there were more factors at play here. And again, we talked about it, and the reports were that money was not the biggest thing that mattered to Cam Coleman throughout this process. And I do think Arch Manning had a lot to do with it. I also think Steve Sarkisian had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you've seen what the wide receivers have been like here.
Right. I mean, you look at Adonai Mitchell, the way he came in and played in his 1 year in Austin as a transfer. You look at Matthew Golden, the way he came in and played in his 1 year in Austin as a transfer. And then, obviously, I mean, Sark has a track record of developing first-round wide receivers that goes well beyond his time here in the ATX. Sure. So I think that played a part in Cam Coleman's decision as well. So, yeah, coach, an offensive-minded coach who's had a bunch of success at his current place, who has a track record of developing your position, plus you're catching passes from the Heisman favorite at quarterback. I absolutely think you're right, Buck, that those two things very much mattered in this recruitment.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great job by those guys, pulling that off.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought that was going to happen during the weekend.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think when asked about it, I talked about like 60% confidence with Cam Coleman. But again, I mean, anytime Texas Tech is involved, you get a little worried. Alabama's got some money too, and he's from the state of Alabama. So you're thinking, all right, maybe he just wants to play close to home. You know, A&M has money and resources, and they've
had success with portal wide receivers.
Right. They just had two incredibly successful portal wide receiver stories in 2025. So, yeah, I mean, you're going up against some fierce competition. And again, with the way things had been trending for Texas, I think a lot of Longhorn fans are like, oh, I mean, we've got nothing but bad news, so we're probably going to get more bad news with this one. And Texas stayed the course. It was kind of a long and windy road. Maybe we got to give the Texas basketball team some credit, because Cam Coleman was in Tuscaloosa at that game on Saturday night, and he watched the Longhorns go into T-Town and pull off the upset as a 13.5 point dog.
The Pope must have went to Mass. Wow. Yeah.
Pope had a great day. We'll obviously dive into that a little bit more in detail, but maybe Texas basketball deserves a little bit of love. Maybe Cam Coleman was like, you know what? Whoever wins this game, that's where I'm going to go. And Texas won, so he's here in Austin now. Probably not.
Well, everybody at Bama, that's my team. Sorry about that, y'all. I'm not going there.
No, you guys can't beat this Texas basketball team.
Really?
Not happening here. But I mean, Cam Coleman, look, he was the top portal target from day one. And this guy is a monster. 6'3", just over 200 pounds. Put up more than 1,300 yards and 13 touchdowns in his first 2 years at Auburn, playing with average, at best, quarterback play. I feel like I'm being nice calling Peyton Thorne and Jackson Arnold average, Buck.
Yeah, that was subpar quarterbacking for them.
Obviously, awful coaching, because Hugh Freeze got canned. I mean, the guy was spending more time on the golf course than he was actually. Have you invited Hugh Freeze to play around with the Texas Cheaters? I feel like he'd be perfect for y'all.
He move his ball around a little bit.
Of course.
But he find it every time in the woods, like, I got it. Here it is. It's the white ball.
Right. And it's somehow on the fairway.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be pretty good.
He'd be pretty good with you there. But yeah,
you got to keep your eye on a guy like that.
No, 100%. 100%. This dude with average quarterback play and below average coaching put up gaudy numbers. And I think my favorite part about Cam Coleman, Buck, and why he's such a difference maker for this offense, he gets open on his own.
Yes.
Like, you have a coach who does a great job of scheming receivers open. We know that. It's a big part of why Sark was hired in the first place. But this is a guy who can win one-on-ones consistently by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Where you don't have to worry about disguises or stack formations or putting him in motion or things like that to get him the rock. He's going to find ways to get the rock by himself, and that makes life a lot easier for an offense.
He wins a lot of those 50-50 balls, too.
He does.
He gets them.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
Now, he'll drop one every once in a while. He's got to sometimes has some inconsistency when he's wide-ass open. I've seen him drop passes before.
Yep.
I also see him go and make tough catches down low, just go down there and get the ball. He knows when to use his body. He knows when to get down and hit the ground and not try to make some goofy catch on the run low. He's good at what he does. He really is.
No, you're right. I mean, he's not a perfect receiver. He's not a completely finished product now. He has had some drop problems, and I know Texas fans hear that. They're like, oh, here we go again. But, I mean, like you said, this guy turns 50-50 balls into 80-20 balls.
Yes, he does.
And he can make catches outside of his frame. He attacks the football when it's in the air. And he's got, again, he's got the size at 6'3", 200. He's incredibly strong, but he's also fast. Like, he's a vertical threat down the field, too. And because of that, like, defensive backs have to respect his ability over the top. So that can open things up for him, you know, underneath and on the boundary as well. And yeah, I mean, I just think of this.
He saw to help the other dude an awful lot. I mean, he can control the middle of the field now. He doesn't have to worry about going post routes. He can work that middle, you know, 15, 20 yard area, sit in zones, make some easy catch and throws, play a lot of catchy catch this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think of, you know, it's not just Cam Coleman, right? You look at the entire Texas wide receiver room. I mean, Ryan Wingo, again, frustrating at times because of the drops, but he was still a second team all SEC player in 2025. Right. Emmett Mosley, knock on wood, he could stay healthy for an entire year, but he looked very impressive in his first season on the 40 acres. Like, that top three is as good as anybody in college football.
Yes, for sure. So, that's the best. That's the best wide receiver room in football right now.
Right. Now you've got a true number one with Cam Coleman. You've got a number two who would be a number one on a lot of teams in Ryan Wingo.
Yes.
And you've got Emmett Mosley going into his third year of college ball with two pretty productive seasons under his belt, one at Stanford and one at Texas. And then you've got some young guys waiting in the wings too, which is great. Hopefully Khalik Lockett sticks around and Dalen McCutcheon sticks around. You've got a five-star Jermaine Bishop coming in. But like, just that top three, your starting crop of wideouts can rival anybody in the sport.
Yeah, I think Sark's going to have about five guys this year he can count on.
In terms of receivers?
Yeah, where they're playing a lot.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, you know, they don't rotate guys there that often. That's well documented. But look, 12-game season, you only have one bye in 2026. You've got nine conference games. You've got Ohio State in week two. Like, you're going to need your depth to be there. So it's imperative that those younger guys are ready to go when their numbers are called upon. But yeah, I mean, I hope so. Look, I mean, Khalik Lockett played pretty well in the bowl game. Dalen McCutcheon did not, but he did enough to impress the coaching staff to where he was on the field week one against Ohio State in his first collegiate game. I love Jermaine Bishop's tape. Like, there's clearly talent in that room. Chris Jackson obviously back coaching him up. It should be. I mean, when Phil Steele's new magazine comes out, you know, he does those position unit rankings.
Yeah, that'll be number one.
I'd be, you know, Ohio State's always in the mix. We'll see what they have. Jeremiah Smith is coming back. That guy's the best receiver in America, so that helps. And they always have some dudes. But Texas will be right there. I mean, at worst, Texas is number two, I think, in that department. So,
no doubt. Right.
It's going all in for your quarterback, Arch Manning.
Under some offensive linemen.
Now you need some offense. Yeah, you're spending all this money on star power, which is great. You need those guys too. But now you got to make sure you have enough time to, you know, get them the football.
Well, that, and you still want to make your running game where there's actual holes.
Yep.
Like you saw against Michigan, where there were guys can run through a hole that's made by the offensive line.
For sure. For sure. And that's, I mean, now Texas has two top five portal running backs, Buck. I didn't think this was a possibility. Like, I thought, okay, Relique Brown's the guy. Fine. That's a very good pickup. And, you know, you've got him and Christian Clark and Derek Cooper, and maybe you'll add somebody else from the portal just for some competition and whatever. But they go and get the number two back from the portal who was already committed to Alabama, and they convince him to flip. And that's crazy because
Alabama needed a running back in a bad way.
Right. And they've got money and resources and pedigree and tradition too. And I didn't think there was any chance. I didn't think Texas had a shot with Hollywood Smothers even before he committed to Bama, right? It's not right. Like he visited last weekend and then decided to commit to Bama. Like, he didn't even visit.
That's a pretty good combination because one, Smothers got a little bit more power than the other kid.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. 5'11", 195, still, you know, not huge for a running back, but he does.
He runs big for a little guy.
Yeah. Breaks some tackles, has a little bit more power than Relique Brown. I mean, it's not your stereotypical thunder and lightning thing.
No, he's not a 220 guy, no, and he won't be probably.
But it's, I mean, if it's lightning and lightning, I don't give a shit. It's two great running backs.
No kidding.
Like, that's the one position. And look, I think wide receiver is another one. I think there's a couple of others that you could make this case for, but there is no position that has turned around more from 25 to 26 than running back.
For sure.
And Sark, I mean, it was a talking point on this show and on every show that covers Texas football and at every water cooler. at every office that contains people who support Texas football. The Longhorn running game was not good enough.
No.
Nope. They knew it. What do you say, Buck? You knew it. I knew it. The American people knew it.
Everybody knew it.
And they weren't just happy with one top five running back. They got two.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, and that's a great combination of what those two bring too.
Yeah. And they're both first team all conference guys this year.
Lots of experience. They'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. Malik Brown, 1,100 yards at Arizona State, first team all Big 12. And then Hollywood Smothers. What a great name that is. They got to sell jerseys, but just with Hollywood on the back, not with Smothers. Oh, yeah. Not that Smothers is a bad last name. Like, that's a good one, too, for a football player. But Hollywood's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. This is gonna be that's going to be a fun group to watch.
Yeah, 939 rushing yards, 6 yards a carry. Also had 37 catches.
You watch the screen game become really big in this offense.
Yeah.
You know, you thought it would not. You thought the quick screen. What do you see the running back screens that they're going to come up with?
Right. That's it. And that was missing with Texas in 2025.
You are missing hammer hands, though.
I'm not. I mean, yeah, I guess technically we're missing him because he's not going to be here.
Yes.
Hammer hands, by the way, committed to Bill Belichick in North Carolina over the weekend.
Good place to go to die.
Well, he's like a 19-year-old kid. You're putting him in the ground?
Well, career-wise.
Oh, for his career to die. All right. Yeah, that was not a great
career. That thing ain't going to get any better.
That was not a great first year for Chapel Bill, was it?
No, it was not.
No, but I'm telling you, Jordan Hudson's going to take over, and things are going to look up for them.
He's going to get more involved this year, you mean?
I hope. I'm telling you, man, my conspiracy is she was wearing a headset all last year, too. But I hope she's, like, calling plays for them.
She's going to do a better job, or she's going to be out.
They're all going to be out.
Yes, they're trying. I think they've been trying to get that thing out.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The running back screen game. You're right. You're right. I mean, it was a weapon. Trey Wisner and Jaden Blue both had 40-plus catches when Texas, you know, won two playoff games and played for the SEC title in 2024. And this year, Trey Wisner led the Texas backfield with 22 catches. So half of that, just one guy got over 20 catches.
Yeah,
so,
and they're willing guys on pass routes and stuff. They like to catch. They like the – obviously, when you see them play, you watch film them, they're the guys that – they love to get linebackers, the one-on-one where they go against a linebacker, and the linebacker has to play catch-up once they catch the ball because those two guys – I know the one guy from Arizona State, that he makes you miss if you're a linebacker. You're chasing him.
They can go. Yeah. They can go. And that was the fear. Like, a lot of Texas fans, I think, were a bit nervous after Hollywood Smothers committed yesterday. It's like, well, what about Relique Brown? Like, is he going to be okay with being here with another top five transfer running back? And right away, reports came out that said, nope, he's fine. He's locked in. He's coming. It's all good.
Yeah, he's trying to set himself up to have a career in the NFL as a specialist, you know, as a guy that, you know, third down can come in and make – you know, make plays against linebackers. He knows gets in this offense, he's going to get some great opportunities to do that. The screen game, show his skills in the screen game. He knows this is good for him. He may not get as many carries, but he's sure going to get a variety of things that'll make him a better NFL player.
For sure. And I think I'll have a big role in this offense. I think both of those guys will have a big role in this offense because at its core, I mean, Steve Sarkisian wants the strength of his offense to be running the football.
Yes.
That's what he's always been about. And he's clearly not happy with the way his run game performed this past season. And honestly, it's been on a bit of a downward trend as a whole the last couple of years compared to, you know, what it was in the first 3 years of the Steve Sarkisian era. So he wants to go back to his identity and obviously bringing in two proven.
Yeah, it seems like he brought in two guys that really fit what he wants to do, too.
Yeah.
Not number one portal guys, but for a reason that fit exactly what he's trying to do offensively and with his quarterback.
Yeah, what a pivot for Texas, too. After missing out on Jaden Ball, he was obviously their top target. Ball never entered the portal, stayed at Florida. People were wondering, myself included, where Texas was going to go at running back, and pretty nice pivot, bringing in two
absolutely
of the top five. And Texas hasn't had a 1-2 punch at running back like this since Bijan and Rojo. Now, neither of these guys are Bijan. I don't know if anybody in the world is Bijan, but you haven't had a 1-2 punch like this in a while. And yeah, now you just have to get some big uglies up front to block.
You still have to do that. You can't just get anybody. I know they're going to try the best they can, but they've just like they've talked the running backs and the wide receiver, they're going to have to get a big old kid that they can talk into and a really good player out of some of these teams. You know, obviously they have guys on their list. They're going to have to get number one, number two, or number three. They can't settle just for a big body because they're a big body. They got to get a player.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, they still need two at minimum offensive yes. linemen. I hope it's three. If it's four, I wouldn't be too upset either, but they've got to add more to that room. Did get some good news yesterday. We'll talk more about this in a moment, but Trevor Goosby officially announced that he is returning.
That's awesome. Also,
Connor Robertson will be returning for 2026 as well. So we'll talk about those bits of news, more on Texas's top-ranked portal class, and more on what is still to come for the Longhorns. But before we dive back in, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
If you're seeking out specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the experts and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement, rheumatology, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, love those dudes. They're dedicated orthopedic surgeons, and their goal is to get you right back in good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Folks, Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in the state of Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Texas Orthopedics. Also, a shout-out to Waterloo Printing and Graphics. I saw my guy Adam a couple of times this weekend. It's a good dude. Big Longhorn fan. Big TSU supporter. You see the Buck rocking a TSU lid this morning. All of our merch, our hats, our shirts, our stickers, our signs, everything that we have to rep our brand was made by Adam and his great team at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. Local company based right here in South Austin. They can get you whatever you need, and they can get it to you very quickly. So if you have a business that needs stuff, if you have a big event coming up that needs stuff, reach out to Adam, 512-300-9641. You can shoot him a DM on Instagram at Waterloo Printing.
Boy, oh boy, I'm glad the Aggies didn't get any of these dudes.
Yeah, well, they're still bringing in some dudes, but thankfully they did not get the dude.
Now, out of their two receivers, are both of them gone? They're both goners, aren't they?
No.
Oh, Craven.
And also, they just added Zay Horton from Alabama, who was, you know, a top receiver for the Crimson Tide this past season. He entered the portal, and a lot of people were like, oh, that means Cam Coleman's coming to Alabama. And no, he's just out. And after the Aggies missed out on Cam Coleman, they pivoted to Isaiah Horton. So
yeah, who's the quarterback going to get decapitated? Cravers is back again, right?
I believe Craver is back again. Yes. I think Concepcion is off to the NFL. Got to double check that. But
makes sense for him to be gone anyway. He doesn't need to do anything more with his numbers anyway.
Right. I mean, Craver was only a sophomore this year, so he can't go to the NFL. Yeah. So the Aggies are going to have good receivers, but they don't have the number one receiver in the portal. That guy was their top target, too, and he chose Texas over Texas A&M. But, yeah, the Aggies didn't waste much time after missing out on their top target. They bring in Isaiah Horton, who is, again, pretty talented as well. So the game between the Longhorns and Aggies is always fun. It will be very fun this year.
Just another win, that's all.
Just another win. It's what it is every season, isn't it?
Just another win.
Just another win. Hey, syntextickets.com if you want to go to that game. I know
yes, sir.
A long ways away. Hey, Texas and Texas A&M basketball are playing this weekend here. That works. In Austin, Saturday night. Also, Texas basketball is playing Vanderbilt on Wednesday. Two home games for the Longhorns as they return following that big win at Alabama. If you want to be at either of those games or any game all season, men's or women's basketball, Syntex Tickets has you covered. Plus, concert tickets, festival tickets, comedy shows, Broadway shows, you name it. Any event coming to our city or anywhere in the great state of Texas, there's only one place you need to look to find your seats. That is syntextickets.com. And do not forget to use the promo code Syntex10. You type that in at checkout, you will get 10% off of any ticket purchase at any time from our friends at syntextickets.com.
Love it.
All right. So mentioned it a moment ago, Buck, Trevor Goosby officially announcing that he is returning to the Longhorns for the 2026 season. You know, we've hinted towards that for a while. I think the writing's kind of been on the wall for a while, and the university has felt very good about this for a while, but it's nice that it is official. And I'm just thinking, Buck, Texas might have four first rounders in the 2027 NFL draft, right? Like, Trevor Goosby could have left now and potentially been a first rounder in 2026, but he's coming back with another great year. I think he's a lock to be a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Arch Manning at quarterback, another guy who could have left now. Thankfully he's not, but even though it wasn't the most consistent year for Arch, he would still be a first round pick if he left. So I think he's a lock for 27. I think Colin Simmons is a lock.
No doubt.
And then Cam Coleman.
Oh yeah. You've got four. You're right.
That's four right there at minimum, maybe with a chance at five or six.
Yeah, so, Smothers, I mean, you got to see how he ends up.
Right. I mean, Ryan Wingo potentially could get there, I think, on the outside looking in for him right now. Jelani McDonald with the sensational year perhaps has a chance.
Yeah, they have those impact players now. I mean, those real impact players that are, you know, first and second team dudes.
Yeah,
high draft choices. This is the kind of year that you want. Like I said, just get those offensive linemen and get yourself a linebacker. Find maybe another defensive back and go to town and let these other guys develop.
For sure.
Because if you don't get any impact offensive linemen from here on, if you just get a bunch of guys, it's going to make me think that the line coach has talked to head coach into something again for two straight years.
Right.
And you can't have that. You can't have this kind of offensive skill positions with that particular offensive line. I know folks are all excited about what happened in the Michigan game, and they did get better. I got you. But you're now trying to win a national championship. That's not a national championship offensive line. That's not going to do it.
No, two of those guys who played against Michigan are gone. So you're already a bit shorthanded because DJ Campbell and Cole Hudson are out of eligibility.
You'll be looking at the quarterback, blaming it on the quarterback when he's running for his life again.
Right, yeah. And look, the good news is Texas doesn't need a left tackle. That's the most important position. That's the hardest position and the most expensive position to fill. So not having to go to the portal for a left tackle is massive for Texas.
Certainly but, is.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They still have work to do. You know, they got the commitment from Dylan Sikorsky out of Oregon State on Friday, but he's not a guaranteed plug-and-play starter. He's some nice depth. He's a guy with 3 years of eligibility remaining, so hopefully a guy who can develop into a really good starter. But you need some guys that you know are going to be good enough to help your running backs and, most importantly, protect your quarterback.
For sure.
That was portal need number one for Texas.
Yes, it was.
They needed some other things that they filled, and they've upgraded, obviously, in some spots that upgrades are always acceptable. But the number one area that they need to address is the offensive line. That was the case from day one, and it is still the case now.
It's still the case, yes. It is still, no matter what you've done, and great receivers, nice running backs, you know, a nice linebacker. But the number one thing you needed to do this year was make sure you took care of the offensive line. You have to.
Yeah, and they will. They will. I mean, I think you have to give this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt with the way the last couple of days have gone, right? You know, they missed out on those Michigan kids, which sucked. This whole narrative would be a lot different. All of last week would have been a lot different if they were able to get those two Michigan offensive linemen to come to Texas. It didn't happen. Both of those guys stayed home. It's tough to recruit against the school that they are just coming from because they have lives there. They have friends there. They are comfortable there. And I mean, we're talking about Michigan. They've got money and pedigree and resources and all of those things. So big bummer there. But there are still, again, other options who are already available in the portal and some guys who have yet to enter who I think will be instant upgrades for Texas there. So we'll see what happens. One name to know is Mikey Bennett. Talked about him a couple of times last week. Yale transfer, Buck.
Oh, got rid of Dartmouth.
Well, the offensive line, considering how many penalties they had, I'll take some smarts up there.
You need a Yaley, yeah. Why not?
This Yaley was honorable mention All-American at the FCS level.
Here you go. Last
year, two-time All-Ivy League.
Come on, Yaley.
I mean, he's on a visit to Oregon right now. So he's been to Texas, which is good, but Florida State's interested. Indiana's interested. Oregon is interested. I don't know if Florida State should be in this conversation, but obviously Indiana and Oregon are two very good teams that
he's already got his degree probably.
Yeah. Yaley right there.
Yeah. He's got his degree. He's just wanted to make a little bit of coin here, Yale.
For sure. Absolutely. And he's a guy with a ton of experience, multi-year starter at Yale. Also did not have a penalty this year for the Bulldogs. Wow. You know how nice that sounds? An offensive lineman who's good.
We don't worry about that here. That's all going to change. Sark's going to be more involved now, remember? He's already got a defensive head coach, so now he's going to be involved in the day-to-day activities of the offensive line and penalties.
He didn't say that.
He didn't?
No.
It sounded like he should have.
He did say, you know, hiring a defensive head coach is going to give him more time to focus on the offense, but I don't think he mentioned the word penalties and –
Well, he probably should.
Probably should, because Texas has been way too penalized the last 3 years, honestly. I mean, people didn't talk about it that much because they made the playoff in 23 and 24, but they still.
See, that's one of the things Sark won't be able to say. You know how he talks about, you know, every game is a game unto itself. And we can always go, yeah, every game you have a bunch of freaking penalties. Every game, coach.
You know what I say to that? Every dumbass is a dumbass into itself.
There you go. If he gives you that one, and every game is, you know,
there were some dumbassery on Texas with the penalties that they
were. There have been games where we only had six guys. Come on now. Or five. And there's been games where we had 12 or 13.
It's got to change.
Every game is different.
It's got to change. I mean, Texas, again, it's not just a 2025 problem, although the Longhorns did finish the year second to last in the country in terms of penalties per game. But I think they were 99th in penalties per game in 2024, and they were in like the 70s or 80s in 2023. So it's a bad trend.
That's not a good stat to have. That's not good. That's not what you want to be known for.
No, it's not. And it hurts you against Ohio State. It hurts you against Florida. Hurts you against Georgia. Like, you lose these games, a lot of it has to do with you pointing the gun right at your own feet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I would love for that to change. So, yeah, bringing in a Yaley.
Very nice.
An Ivy League guy on the offensive line who, again, can play but also doesn't commit a lot of penalties. That would be very nice. I would like that a lot. So that's one name to know. That's a guy who has visited Texas already. That's sort
he's
of
already been on campus.
Already been on campus, yeah. But again, he's not just coming to Austin, right? He's already been to Florida State and Indiana as well. And he, I think, is in Oregon today or is making his way to Eugene today.
He's probably here when the hot weather was here, because being from where he is in Yale, that's cold.
Right.
Is he from there? Is he from that area?
Let me look that up. I guess actually he can't visit today because he can't be visiting campuses today through Wednesday. So he'll go to Oregon later this week. He is from Atlanta.
Oh, so he's fine with the weather.
Fine. Yeah. Well, is it cold in Atlanta? I thought it was warm in Atlanta.
It gets cold there. They get some cold weather. This time of year, it's not, you know, these games are in the dome there. They're not played outside, as you see.
That's true. It's a good point. It's a good point. Shout out to our guy, Noe, for the super chat this morning.
Noe.
Man, thank you, Noe. Appreciate the good vibes on a Monday. Connor Robertson, by the way, is coming back to Texas, which is good news. I would not be opposed to Texas finding an upgrade at center if he's out there. But Connor Robertson, at minimum, gives you some depth on the offensive line.
Yeah, and he knows this offense. And
he knows this offense.
Yes.
And he just raises the floor of Kyle Flood's group, I think, is a good way to describe him. And look, the Texas offensive line got significantly better when he was inserted into the starting lineup. And it allowed Cole Hudson to go back to left guard. And that was a revolving door there before that move happened. So Connor Robertson was great and helped Texas field its best five up front every Saturday. But again, if you can find an upgrade, I would not be opposed. But happy that he's back. It's a very selfless decision.
The last three or four games, the continuity of that offensive line got a little bit better. They still didn't move a lot of people. They didn't make a lot of holes for the run game, but they protected better. The communications got better.
Yeah, it all got better. It all got better, but that group was out there for the Georgia game, Buck.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
And that was not good, right? They were great against A&M. They were great against Michigan. They were great against Arkansas, which
They were okay against Ohio State in the first game.
No, they were not. They were awful. Against Ohio State?
They kind of held their own. I thought they didn't get mauled.
It wasn't their worst performance of the year.
Well, yeah, it was. Then they get it once again. When I say first game, that can go anyway.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now you're right. That wasn't their worst performance.
If they ever played Ohio State, say game three, it'd have been a little bit different with the way Ohio State was rolling. So, but yeah, they physically, they didn't get tossed around. But they get, except for Georgia, they get tossed around, and Florida.
Florida killed them.
Yeah.
I mean, they got tossed around by a lot of teams this year.
Yeah, not even the good ones. They didn't make any holes. They didn't do anything for the running backs to puncture through.
Man,
which makes the running backs look kind of subpar too.
Yeah, that's the point of this entire conversation is that there were too many moments this year where just Texas didn't get good protection up front.
No.
For the run game, for the pass game, for any of it. So that's why finding upgrades is imperative. But, I mean, I'll give Connor Robertson credit. Like, it's a selfless move by him. He's already graduated. I don't think Connor Robertson's an NFL guy. I don't think that's his plan. So he could have transferred somewhere else maybe to try to play his final year of college football. I had heard he was considering transferring to LinkedIn, Buck, and applying for a job.
There you go.
He's already got a degree from the University of Texas. Super smart kid, well-connected from Austin. So it's like he could make some good money in the workforce right out of school. And
want to give it a shot in the pros. So you got to have a good year. So he come back for another, see if he can get a good year in there.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. If he does have a great season, I guess could. I don't think he's an NFL guy, regardless of what he does, but maybe he's keeping the dream alive.
Hey, everybody could use a center.
Everybody could use a center. Definitely. But yeah, that offensive line against Georgia, because that's the team that's obviously been killing you. I mean, so is Ohio State, but the team that you have to beat in your conference to win conference championships is Georgia. And the five guys you had with the revamped offensive line still weren't good enough to win the line of scrimmage against Georgia. So upgrades are necessary. And again, I think the coaching staff realizes that. I don't think they're trying to run it back with what they had. And now that is the number one focal point. Like, you direct pretty much all of your resources to getting that taken care of because you've been able to take care of so many other things in recent days.
It's always been your focal point. We knew that from the get last year. We'd been saying that. Yeah. That's it. Just add to what you have. You got some good things going on right now. Don't take a back seat now. Just picking up a couple Yaleys and Dartmouths and Princeton dudes.
Job's not finished. This Yaley is good. I like this Yaley. I hope they pick up this Yaley.
And the Dartmouth was good, too.
Dartmouth was fine, but
yeah, he made a good decision getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, we upgraded from Dartmouth. So I'm okay with losing Dartmouth now. We still have to upgrade on the offensive line, you know?
For sure.
It's got to happen. We'll see. Some other good news for Texas. We haven't spent too much time talking about Rasheem Biles. But Saturday night, Texas got some very good news in the portal. Rasheem Biles, the second-ranked linebacker in the portal, committed to Texas. Second team All-ACC in 2025. How about these numbers this past season, Buck? 101 tackles, 17 tackles for a loss, which was second in the ACC, 4.5 sacks. He had 2 pick sixes, a fumble return for a touchdown, 2 forced fumbles, and 4 PBUs.
Dude, that cost you some money to get him.
Well, we'll take it. Had some money to spend.
Yeah.
That's why you're freeing up. I mean, Texas has basically made the decision, we're going to let unproven walk for proven, and we're going to let good go for great.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the philosophy change that they have clearly made. And it's some tough decisions that they had to make, letting some guys go. And in a perfect world, you know, you have your cake and you eat it too. You keep some guys and you still add the guys that you added. But that's not how this works anymore. So that's the decision they made. They totally revamped their philosophy. And, hey, they were okay letting Leonga Lefau go because they felt like they could upgrade there. And they did.
He's a bigger body too, isn't he?
Nah, not really. 6'1", 220. Not a big body.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, that linebacker. But again, a multi-year starter, second team All-Conference this past year, and he's a rental, by the way, with 1 year of eligibility remaining. But Texas added another linebacker on Friday. We haven't even talked about this. They added a kid, Justin Cryer, from Florida State.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's from Texas. Started 10 games for the Seminoles last year. Not as accomplished, not as many skins on the wall, but a guy who's played a lot of games in a Power Four conference.
He's lost a lot of games.
He has lost a lot of games. Hopefully he doesn't bring that with him.
No, he's lost a lot of games.
Spending some time at Florida State the last couple of years. But he was there when they were undefeated in 2023.
There you go.
So he was a part of a winning team. And he did log some snaps that season. But Justin Cryer coming in from Katy, 6'1", 240. So a bit of a bigger body at linebacker.
Sweet.
He's downhill. He's physical. He's violent. He's more of an early down guy. He's not your coverage in space guy. He is going to help, I think, with the run defense on first and second down. And, you know, with Will Muschamp, you're looking for more physicality. You're looking for more violence. You're looking for more aggression.
Yeah, they on need the a defense. Edge guy. Now I need a couple guys off the edge.
I think so. I think they could use one more edge. You know, they have Colin Simmons. They were able to talk Zena Umeozulu out of the portal. He's coming back to Texas, which is good. Younger guy who can develop. But they hosted Wendell Gregory. Speaking of Florida State, he didn't start at Florida State. Started at South Carolina and then transferred to Oklahoma State. Played with the Cowboys this past year.
He's lost a lot of games, too.
He did lose a lot of games. Yeah, he did. South Carolina was really good the year he played 2 years
ago. Yeah, that's 2 years ago, right?
But he didn't play. He redshirted that year, didn't play.
Oh, okay. Much,
but was a part of that team. Transferred to Okie Light this past season. And
learned how to lose.
Yeah, lost.
Now he's coming with a winner. Good.
Did lose a lot of games. But 12 TFLs and 4 sacks this past season as –
yeah, they're going to need a blitzing guy who can just take off and go.
Well, they have Colin Simmons. They got one of the best pass rushers in America.
Yeah, I mean, they need somebody that's off the ball a little bit that can come and take care of running backs and get around those dudes and get to the quarterback too.
Yeah, that would help. That would help. And Justin Cryer might be that guy. Rasheem Biles might be that guy. I wouldn't be shocked if Texas added one more linebacker in the portal. They're still interested in Cal's Cade Uluave, who, you know, is taking visits around the country. And
that's right. We talked about him on Friday.
Right. And people are wondering, like, could Texas get both? Like, people assumed, like, whether it was Texas or somebody else, those top two linebackers available were going to end up at different schools. So I think a lot of people thought that, okay, Biles is here. That means Uluave is going somewhere else. But I don't know. I
mean, it's true. They're on a heater right now.
They're on a heater. They just signed 2 top 5 running backs. Nobody thought they were going to do that. So maybe nothing's off the table for Texas. They have pushed their chips in to the center.
Go get a cornerback while you're at it.
They got Bo Masco. They got a corner.
Oh, that's right. We got Rutgers. We got Yale and Rutgers. Nice.
Yale and Rutgers, baby. Hey, look at where some of the guys who were about to win a national championship for Indiana played.
Oh, where they started their careers? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's Texas and a lot of teams are trying to mimic Indiana, which is the craziest thing ever.
They're coached extremely well. They don't have a lot of penalties.
No, they're coached extremely well, of course. I mean, the job Kurt Cignetti has done is second to none. I think it's the best turnaround in college football history. But they're not signing top 5 recruiting classes out of high school. They are letting guys get paid to develop elsewhere. And then, once you're proven – you're coming here, and you're going to win.
Yeah, I love the way he said, you got to be proven. We don't just take anybody.
Yeah.
We're not looking for numbers.
It's a bunch of 21, 22, 23-year-olds on their roster. Like, that helps. You've got mature guys who are developed, who already know what it's like to play college football. Like, it's what's working. And, again, that is the conscious change. This was no accident, Texas letting all of these younger guys go in the portal. Again, they would have loved to have kept them if they could, but they're not going to pay guys to sit on the bench. They were hamstrung in 2025 by paying so many guys in that number one recruiting class out of high school to not play. And they're basically saying, we made a mistake. This is not how college football works anymore. It used to be you want to throw all of your eggs into the high school basket.
Right. But oh, yeah.
That's not how it works anymore. So I don't think you're going to see Texas bring in close to 30.
And by the way, it doesn't work that way with linemen either. I thought maybe that was the one position that it may work out, offensive linemen. That's not going to work that way either.
No, you want adults.
Yes.
You want guys who can crack open a cold beer after practice legally.
Yes, you're right.
That's what I'm looking for. Have one with the coach after a game when you're watching film. Do you ever do that with anyone? Is that legal? It's probably not legal still, right?
They just won't do it. It's probably legal, but they won't do it.
And didn't some coach, the Ohio U coach, got fired for having booze in his desk at work?
Yeah, that was just him and the secretary probably having drinks.
Oh, boy. A little Sharon Moore situation. Sharon, yeah. Yeah, they were doing more than just having drinks up there at Michigan.
Yes, they were.
They were doing a lot more than that.
I can't believe those guys wanted to stay at Michigan. Come on, guys.
Did you I know. And that's
yeah, but they got a pretty good coach coming in. So
that's the thing. Like the Kyle Whittingham, I don't think it's a great hire, or at least as great of a hire as everybody else does. But when it comes to preventing a mass exodus,
yes,
and keeping some BBs in the box.
Yeah, stability. Yeah, you're right.
Stability, that's the perfect word. Like, yeah, Kyle Whittingham was the right guy for that. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks because if Texas had those two dudes in the fold, then I'd be kicking my feet up on this table saying, all right, we're good. We're good. We're set. Thank you very much. But still work to be done because they have only signed one portal offensive lineman. And, again, he's not a guaranteed starter. You need some guaranteed starters.
Well, tell me about that Indiana-Oregon game. Yowzer.
Yeah, you were right on that one, sir.
That thing is that group, as I said, Miami better look out because if it wasn't played at their home field, it'd be 10.5, 12-point favorite for Indiana.
Yeah, the Hoosiers opened
up. They're still liable to do it. They're still liable to beat them by that.
I'm telling you, the Hoosiers opened up as a 7.5-point favorite, and the line is still there here 1 week away from the national title game.
Not enough.
But, I mean, God, first play of the game was a pick six.
You know what? I missed that. I didn't even see that play. I saw the replay. I never saw that play. I didn't see the first play.
I think I was, like, taking a shower or something, like wrapping up a shower. And like in the bathroom, and I just had the sound on in the other room, and I hear McDonough going nuts. I'm like, what? I thought the game just started. What happened? And I come back. And I see the replay.
What is it?
Yeah, pick six. First play of the game, right? Oregon gets the ball, trying to set the tone, send a message. And literally the very first play of the game, Indiana corner jumps a route. D'Angelo Pons, who's one of the best corners in America, house call. And then, look, Oregon, to their credit, they responded. Long touchdown drive. They tied it at 7-7. So it's like, all right, here we go. Strap in. Buckle up. We have a game. And then the lie detector test determined, Buck, that was a lie.
Man, oh, man.
We did not have a game because
it was not even as close as the final score.
Yeah, Indiana, I mean, they were up 35-7 at halftime, and they were up 42-7 after the first drive of the third quarter.
How about that opening drive coming out of the locker room? I'm like, is Oregon going to wake up and at least score, you know, maybe 14 quick points and make this something? Nope. Indiana took that ball and took it right down the field.
And it took 6 minutes, too. So it was like, not only was it points, the game was over at that point, but not only was it points, it was long drive with points.
Oh, yeah, and they make you pay. They punish you with their drives. Yeah. They can score quick. But their run game and that offensive line just punishes your defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't have any mistakes. They don't have any flaws. They don't make any mistakes. They don't have any flaws. They don't have any weaknesses. They're really good. I'm still going to pick Miami to beat them because I'm not buying into Indiana as a football team. I never have. I never will.
No.
So, and I've been picking against them throughout this playoff. So every Indiana fan like owes me. You should want me to pick against your team because I keep doing it and you guys keep winning. Tickets, by the way, for that game, Buck, to get in. This is not like 50-yard line seats. This is not first row seats. The get-in price for Indiana-Miami, $3,000. Yeah.
Wow.
And you might think it's all Miami fans.
To get into the old Hard Rock, there's no corner seats.
No. You might think it's all Miami fans. People forget Indiana has the largest living alumni base of any university in the world.
Man,
that's a huge school. No one thinks of them as a football school. Why? Because they've always sucked at football, but they have so many people who root for them because they have had so many people who have gone to school there. So it's, there are going to be so many, like that crowd in Atlanta, that was like 75-25, maybe 80-20 Indiana fans.
Yes.
So I know it's a closer trip for IU than it was for Oregon, but it's not like you could get in a car and drive from Bloomington to Atlanta. They flew and they came out in droves.
They'll be there next week too.
Yeah. So obviously Miami gets the advantage of playing at their home field. They're comfortable there. They get to sleep in their own beds. All good things for them. But this is not going to be a typical.
All that shit don't matter when guys are punching you in your face over and over again in your own bed.
Right.
I mean, that offensive line for them is just fun to watch.
For Indiana,
when they get up on guys and they double team you. And they knocked the down lineman into the line. I mean, pretty good down lineman at Oregon. Knocked them into the linebackers.
Yeah. Like, that's a really good Oregon team that, I mean, just shut out Texas Tech. But what does that say about Texas Tech, huh?
Oh, sorry about that, Big 12. Stay in the Big 12. Stay in your lane now.
I think there were, you know, a bunch of Red Raider fans, obviously, who were upset that their team lost to Oregon. I think there were some that were pretty happy that they didn't have to watch their team take that assing on Friday night.
They would have scored 80 against Texas Tech.
I had a couple of Tech buddies who were like, at least this isn't us.
Oh, my God. You know, they would have scored 80 against Tech.
And, you know, watching this playoff, Buck, it's funny. I'm still not picking Indiana to win, but I'm about to say this. Like, I feel like Texas could hang with 11 of the 12 teams that made it. That's not to say Texas would have beaten 11 of the 12 teams that made it, but I feel like they could at least be competitive.
Yeah, I thought about 5 or 6, maybe.
They would have no chance against Indiana.
No, oh, my God, no.
Like, the group that played on Friday night would have mopped the floor with Texas. It feels like they're just on a different level right now.
Yeah, they would have scored in the 70s. I've been one of those bad high school games where, you know, where you watch it and you say, hey, where's the mercy rule in this? When did they would have to have a running clock against the Horns.
Yeah. I mean, they're on another level right now. So we'll see if Miami can find a way. Obviously, the U, an incredible story. You know, the upset of A&M and College Station, the upset of Ohio State, the win over Ole Miss, they have earned their spot in this game. But they are going up against a wagon.
Yeah, you know, and listening to the stories on Cignetti and what he treats his staff, they go home. They don't stay late. He wants them to go home to their families. They're not sitting around there at 1 o'clock in the morning where they're pretending to do something when everybody's tired. It's like, no, I want you fresh. See you early in the morning. Get the hell out of here. Go to dinner. We'll have a quick meeting, and then we'll get out of here. The players don't do a lot of extra stuff. The players talk about how it's nice to, you know, you spend time at the facility. But they don't expect you to live at the facility. They want you to be a college kid and go have some fun. But when it's time to practice, they don't have long practices, they said. But when they practice, it's intense.
We need to hire Connor Stallions and send him up to Indiana to just scope out what they do up there.
Oh, I mean, Cignetti will have so many college coaches in the springtime coming to visit their spring practices. Yeah. He'll be saying, nope, you can't come. Nope, you can't come. No, Michigan, you can't come and watch our spring ball. No.
Right. And you definitely don't want Michigan.
Anything.
You don't want Michigan snooping around. You know what they're capable of. But, yeah, it's a great story. I mean, again, they don't even have to win next Monday for this to be the greatest turnaround in college football history. But obviously, if they cap it off with a natty, then it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And I think it's unlike anything the sport has ever seen. So,
I mean, you can just tell the difference in competition when they step on the field, whether it's their offensive side or their defensive side. You can tell, you know, with a couple snaps, this is not going to be fun for this other group on the other side. You can just tell.
They've played 2 playoff games, Buck. They've scored 94 points against Alabama and Oregon. Teams loaded with talent.
Loaded with 5-star talent, yeah.
Yes, and portal talent, too. And they just took their lunch money for the entire semester. Man. See you later. Crazy. All right. So we'll obviously talk more about Indiana and Miami throughout the week, and the game's next Monday. So plenty of time to break it all down. Plenty more to get to in hour two. Obviously, more Longhorn football discussion. We got to talk about Texas basketball's big win in Tuscaloosa. We obviously have to give our thoughts on the NFL playoffs. What a freaking wild card weekend it's been for the NFL. My gosh. Talk about some of those games, and we'll preview tonight's Texans Steelers game. But before any more, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, our friends over at Relax Back welcome you to their two locations. If you've got problems with your neck and your hips and your shoulders, you want to start the new year off not being in pain, please head on over to the Relax the Back store. They've got everything that you're looking for, zero gravity, recliners, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, pillows, the human scale office chairs, desk, and all the accessories that will make you comfortable. I'm in my office desk. I actually moved the big desk, the chair, BK, I moved it over and didn't sit in the big taco for a while and sat in this chair, kicked my feet up, and boy, does my back feel good today. Going to get myself a little stretch at the stretch zone, and I'll start the week off the right way. But I started it the right way by having a weekend sitting in my relaxed back chair. They've got two great locations, folks, at the Hill Country Galleria right across the street from Whole Foods, and in North Austin, the Gateway Shopping Center across the street from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love Relax the Back. Also love audiovisual consultations. I mean, you did it. You moved your Relax the Back chair in front of your 85-inch AV Consultations TV. That's a perfect weekend right there, my friend.
Yes, it is.
AV Consultations. You talk about New Year's resolutions. How about upgrading your home TV setup? This is an easy one. This is a fun one. This isn't something you're going to hate. This is something you're going to love for the rest of your life. Make the call to Audiovisual Consultations and get hooked up with the TV setup of your dreams. Y'all see these two screens behind me? Installed professionally by AV Consultations. They look great. They're perfectly aligned. There's no wire sticking out. If you want multiple screens on one wall like I have, they can do it. If you want the 85-incher like the buck, they could do it. How about a home theater room with the giant projection and surround sound speakers? Yeah, they have those awesome Sonos speakers plus the sound bars for your big screen TV. My parents have one of those Sonos sound bars, dude. Oh my God. Like, I need one of those so badly. I got to move so I can call.
You need the TV, just turn the music on and just listen.
I need to upgrade the speakers in the next crib. AV Consultations can do that. Plus, whole home lighting, surveillance cameras to keep you and your loved ones safe. Heated floors for your bathroom. How nice would that be on a cold morning like this? AV Consultations, it's way more than TVs. All you have to do is call them at 512-255-8678, and Tom McKay and his crew will bring everything to you. AVConsultations.com if you want to look at the gallery of projects they've done over the years. But again, most importantly, give them a call, 512-255-8678 for audiovisual consultations.
Can you see my eye now a little bit better?
I see both of your eyes.
See this black eye over the top, the eyelid filled with blood?
You would have run in with a black guy this weekend?
I would have run in with the dog, punching me right in the face.
Oh, you got cold cocked by the pup?
By the big dog, yes, with his claws and paws or whatever. Those are claws that he has.
What'd you do to him?
Just playing around with him. You know, I said I shouldn't be playing with him. Well, I did, and he decided to jump up, and he went whack.
Oh.
That thing is, look at it. Look at the disc. It's bad. It's like, I mean, it felt, I mean, and he didn't hit the eyeball. He hit over the top of it and scratched it, and the blood came down and through. And I'm such a wimp. Should have punched that dog out.
No, you shouldn't punch your dog.
No.
Sounds like it was pretty avoidable. Like you started it by trying to wrestle with him.
I was just playing.
And that guy weighs more than you.
He doesn't weigh more than the big guy. Big guy's been having some solid meals. Hey, 158. I'm still hovering in that 158. Feeling good, eating right, doing all the right things.
I don't know. You sure it wasn't a road rage incident? You've been talking about some of your troubles on the road lately.
No, I've been good. Nobody's running. I chase after people now. Big man's getting big and getting bold.
Oh, okay. That's good.
The big and the bold. Very nice. Speaking of bold, our friends over at Sue Patrick, since 1975, an incredible selection of Longhorn apparel accessories. And they've got tons of Texas-themed items, of course. Wide variety of men's and women's clothes. They've got it all, man. I got a big shout-out a couple times. I walked with that big striped Longhorn shirt the other day, the little T-shirt I walked around with that.
Yeah. So
58, felt like 78 outside. lots of thoughts. Where do you get that from? Where do you get these clothes? Where do you get all this Longhorn gear from? Well, I get it from Sue Patrick because they've got it. 5222 Burnett Road, $59 online orders or more, free curbside pickup, and plenty of parking space. Now, I didn't talk to the people on the street about the Jellycats, but I'm going to have to start talking to them about a New Year's. And I know they've got some wonderful Jellycats over there now. So get on by the store at 5222 Burnett Road or go to SuePatrick.com for more information. Get them online ordered and get them to you in a hurry.
Yes, indeed. Love, Sue Patrick.